I want to begin tonight's lesson with a reading, if you'll join me in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. I want to begin with verse 15, please. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. And at that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. For last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." And when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, he took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. You see to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and on our children." And then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. The story of Barabbas is a fascinating story that is kind of lost in this greater story of what happened to Jesus. And I'm not sure if when's the last time you even thought about Barabbas. But tonight, what I'd like to do is help you kind of understand where he was and what he went through in these circumstances. And then to talk a little bit about what he got and then try to make some applications that might be helpful for us. Thanks for being here. I'm glad you're here tonight. I appreciate y'all getting me used to the worst kind of winter weather that I experience. You know, my wife said, "How's everything going?" I said, "I'm like in dead winter for us. I mean, this is about as bad as it gets for us in Tampa." And my body's shocked into your system here. But it's good to be with y'all, and thank you for coming out tonight and being here, despite this incredibly inclement weather. Oh, now you'll just call me a weather wimp. That's okay. I want you to think for a few moments about what went through Barabbas's mind in this scene. You know, it's given to us in such terse terms that it's maybe hard for us to understand, but I want to try to get in his mind and help you understand what happened to him on this day. For all practical purposes, he thinks this is the day of his execution. He hears his name being called by a crowd outside. He doesn't have very many friends. He's got some. He was part of a gang or a group, evidently, that were called at least are termed insurrectionists, plural. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But certainly not a crowd of people who would be crying out, "Release Barabbas." All he hears is them calling out his name. "Barabbas! Barabbas!" And the next words heard by him are the words, "Crucify him!" I want you to think Because that's what Pilate said. Whom shall I release for you? Barabbas! What shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Crucify him! So what he hears is, Barabbas! Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Now that's the death that Barabbas expects to undergo anyway. But I'm sure he must be confused at this crowd of people who are verifying what the Roman government has already said it will do to him. And then he hears the stomping feet of soldiers coming to his cell, calling him out, taking him outside into the sunshine, where he is there placed on a portico, looking down on this crowd of people who appear to be angry at something. And I'm sure for Barabbas, wondering, what have I done to them? He's not an innocent man. But he wonders, why this for me? And then Pilate points him out as Barabbas, and then identifies a person on his other side, on Pilate's other side, a torn, bleeding, battered fellow Jew that Barabbas doesn't know. Not readily identifiable. And even if he had at some point seen Jesus, I'm sure this wreck of a man would not be recognized by Barabbas. And some people are shouting his name, and some people, most of the people, are shouting another name. I have no doubt that Jesus had friends in that audience who cried out the name of Barabbas when Pilate said, "Whom shall I release?" I'm sure some of Jesus' friends said, "Barabbas should not be released. Release Jesus." But the crowd screams him down. And so Pilate nods to the soldier who unfastens his chains and motions to him to walk free among that crowd. I'm sure if you talked to Barabbas minutes afterwards and said, "What are you doing out here?" he'd say, "You know what? I don't know yet. I don't have any idea how I got here. I mean, I was in my jail cell. I heard people hollering my name, hollering, 'Crucify him.' He brought me out on a porch. I saw another guy on the other side. I didn't recognize him. Pilate called out my name, called out the other name. They called my name. He set me free. I don't get it. But I'm free." And what's interesting about that is this is not some Barabbas fan club that sets him free. In fact, there is no attention turned to him at all. He's not honored. "Come on, Barabbas, we're so glad you're back among us. Be reintroduced into society. Come on back. Got a job for you. Got a place for you to stay. Love having you back. We're so glad you're free." Nobody cares about him at all. Nobody. Nobody cares about Barabbas. They're all concentrating on that other man. Well, let me make some observations about Barabbas for you this evening. I want to begin by telling you Barabbas was deserving of death. He deserved to die. John chapter 18 verse 40 tells us he was a robber, a thief. Well, not exactly a thief the way we think of thieves, more like armed robbery. He wasn't going into people's homes like some cat burglar, taking things. He was forcibly taking things from people. That's the very word that's used of him here. Mark chapter 15, verse 7 tells us he was both a rebel and a murderer. Now, I can only put that together, and it's surmising, but my guess is he was taking things from people and probably got caught up in that. Somebody resisted and he killed them. And maybe it was a Roman that he killed. He is part of an insurrection. He's a rebel against the government. He is treasonous in his activities. Any of those could get him the death penalty. With the exception of armed robbery, which wouldn't get you a death penalty in our country, killing somebody and treasonous acts are punishable by death, even in our country, even here. So make no mistake about it, Barabbas is not some innocent man who got caught up in something. He's not even a guy who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was driving the chariot when they robbed that store. I don't know. I was just there. They came running out, had a bag full of money, and I got caught in it. That's not Barabbas. He is clearly guilty and deserving of death. And he knew he was destined to die. He knew that. I want to tell you something about the Roman prison system. It was not meant to rehabilitate anybody. Romans never thought in terms of rehabilitation. They would have laughed at that idea. All a prison was a place to keep people from harming other people or to hold them until they were killed. And the Romans didn't have a lot of graduated sentences. They had hold them till they die in jail or hold them till you kill them. And almost every sin against the government, almost every crime committed against the Roman government was punishable by death if it was committed by a non-Roman. So they were good at it. And Barabbas never entertained the thought, you know, I got a good lawyer. He's going to get me off on this. Or I'll serve my time and they'll give me off time for good behavior. Or they'll find out my DNA wasn't on that sword. He didn't entertain any thoughts about that. He knew he was destined to die. Now, I want you for a moment to think about what a contrast this picture is. Imagine that I'm just standing in the position that Pilate is in. And I have brought out onto this portico overlooking this crowd two men. I submit to you, there could not be a greater contrast of figures than these two. On the one hand, we've got Barabbas, this hardened criminal who is surly about the situation. He's not coming out on the porch crying, I'm an innocent man. He knows the system. He's caught. He's going to die. He's going to die. And he knows that, and he hates the system. He's an insurrectionist. He doesn't love Rome. He doesn't love Rome's system. He is bitter. He's hardened. He faces that crowd and he could spit on him if he wanted to. And he could slap Pilate if he could get his chained hands up to do it. There's nothing kind about this man. On the other hand, look at Jesus. There could be people that are as bad as Barabbas. You can probably think of a few. You say, well, Hitler would be a good contrast for Jesus. Or Joseph Stalin. Or Idi Amin. Maybe Jeffrey Dahmer or somebody like that. They might be a good contrast. But I'm going to tell you something. You could search the annals of history person by person, and you will find no one who comes close to matching the purity and the innocence of Jesus Christ. Nobody. Not even close. You can find a bad guy that would match Barabbas. You can't find a good guy to match Jesus. Could there be a greater contrast of characters than these two that Pilate has put together on one stage at one time? Could there be a greater contrast? Here is Jesus who you say, well, surely you lied. No, I've never lied. Well, surely you've said something ugly about somebody. No, I never have done that. Lost your temper where you had to apologize? No, I never did that either. Taken something from somebody? No. Coveted something somebody had? No. Can you imagine? Is there one of us in this room that could answer those questions that way? Any of those questions that way? Jesus could. And yet, look at him. Oh, I'm not saying Barabbas comes out, his hair perfectly in place and clean clothes. He's been in prison. He looks pretty bad, but nothing like Jesus here. Jesus is torn, bleeding, barely alive. Here's the contrast. You know what's really ironic about all this? I mean, here is divinity and a demonic person on the same stage at the same time. And the choice is, choose one. Choose one. And in that choice, I mean, for that crowd to have picked Barabbas, had they known anything about Jesus, for that crowd to call Barabbas' name as the one to go free, to choose him over Jesus, is like, it would be like taking a man and standing him in a room and saying, here's the most beautiful woman in the world, and here's a slug. Choose one to live with for the rest of your life. And he says, I think I'll pick the slug. How did they do that? How did they pick a devil over the divine one? And here's what's really ironic about all that. I have no doubt at all that what Pilate was trying to do was load the deck. Pilate wanted Jesus to go free. He says he's innocent. He even, you'll notice, he even says about him, whom shall I release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ? And he even, his terminology is loaded in favor of Jesus. I have no doubt that when Pilate thought, I got to release somebody, hey, this is the time of the Passover, I get to release somebody. I can set this guy free, fulfill the letter of the law, but still let this guy go, and the crowd can't do anything about it. Bring me the worst criminal in my prison. Bring me the dregs. I mean, the guy nobody could vote for. Bring him. And I have no doubt, Pilate thought, Barabbas or Jesus, whom shall I release? That the crowd would go wild for Jesus, because there's no way they could pick Barabbas. Barabbas had finished third in a two-person race. That's what Pilate thought. And even in that attempt to portray Jesus as the exact opposite of Barabbas, the crowd picks Barabbas. A man who deserved to die. The law said he dies. He dies. Now, I know you may say, man, okay, you made that point. I'm not sure why you're making that so hard and so firmly and so repeatedly. I'm trying to let you know there is no way in the universe Barabbas should have walked that day. He was set free only by mercy. Justice in every way said Barabbas dies. In every way, he dies. He is only set free because of mercy. Justice punishes, mercy releases. But here's the interesting thing about mercy. Mercy cannot be demanded, or it's not mercy. You can never demand mercy. You can never tell somebody, you owe me mercy. You can't do it. Otherwise, it's not mercy. Mercy is unmerited, unearned, never demanded. So what I'm saying to you is there's nothing Barabbas could have done or said to say, Pilate, you got to set me free. You owe me. He couldn't threaten him. You set me free or my people are going to tear this city apart. There is no way that Barabbas could say anything to anybody. If he's honest, there's no way he can say anything to anybody except only by mercy, only by grace am I here today. That should have been me that died. Mercy set me free. Third point, Barabbas lives only if Christ dies. You understand that? It's the only way he can live. Because Pilate is a man of justice, Pilate can't just say to Barabbas, you know what, I'm feeling good today. I've had a good day. Bring the worst criminal out here and just let him go free. He can't do that. Justice won't let him do that. I'm not saying he couldn't do it, but justice wouldn't let him do that. The only way Barabbas walks is if Jesus goes to the cross. It's the only way. If the crowd hadn't wanted Jesus dead, Barabbas would have been executed. It's only by the death of Jesus that Barabbas lives. And there's only one prisoner that can go free. Pilate can't say, you know what, today I decided both of them go. He can't do that. He can't set Jesus free if Barabbas goes free. One of them's got to die. One of them has to die to satisfy justice and to satisfy that crowd. So the only way Barabbas lives is by the death of Jesus. No begging, no cajoling, no threatening. No working it off for good behavior. None of those things will work. The only way Barabbas lives is for Jesus to die. Now I got one more point for you. Barabbas had a chance to live again. If you've never seen the movie, I, Barabbas. If you ever want to watch a good old black and white movie that's overplayed by some characters you don't know but has an interesting plot, watch the movie I, Barabbas. Here's what that movie posits. The idea that when Barabbas is set free by the death of Jesus, at first he is in wonderment that he gets to go free. And he has a little bit of trouble assimilating himself into society. So he's wrestling with his new freedom. He's not sure whether to go back to his old friends or whether he should try to start over or go someplace totally new. He's not sure what to do with his life. He's been in prison for a while. He's not really trained to go back into society. And so at first, because of the difficulties he has, his first reaction is to hate Jesus. You may say, why could he hate Jesus? Jesus is the one that set him free. But he holds Jesus responsible for the fact that I don't have a life out here. In some ways, even though I knew I was going to die in prison, I knew what my future held. I don't know what my future holds now. In prison, I probably had some friends. In prison, I got meals. In prison, I had shelter. I get out there in the world and I'm lost. I mean, they just shoved me out here with no preparation and no ability to cope. And who did that? That guy, Jesus. Because he took my place. He pushed me out into this world. And then he hates himself. He feels guilty about what he did to Jesus, and he begins to hate himself. He starts inquiring as to who this Jesus is. And the more he learns about him, the more guilty he feels. I killed him. I took his life. It should have been me that died. And finally, at the end of that movie, you know what happens at the end of the movie? He becomes a disciple. He becomes a follower of Jesus. And even though you may say, oh, that could never happen, you do know in your heart that's probably what should have happened. I mean, somebody gives their life for you and you get to live again, you probably ought to live for them. Do something. Create some kind of monument in your life as a tribute to them. Why, I think you'd do that if somebody saved your life and lost theirs in the saving. I'd think you'd do something for them besides just say, I vaguely remember that happening. Yeah, some guy saved me in the river when I was drowning, and he went down but pushed me to shore at the last minute. I seem to remember something like that happening. You and I'd say, are you kidding? You seem to remember that? You got your whole life back because of him. How could you not pay some tribute to him? Now, that movie is a movie made by Hollywood. There is absolutely, if you're thinking, okay, Ralph, tell us, did that really happen? Is there some historical book that says that really happened? Has somebody found something? National Geographic done a special on that? No. I don't know what happened, but that's what should have happened. What a waste. What a waste of a life if all he did was go free and commit crimes again. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if he got out there and went out there, and the first thing he did is say, I need money, and held up somebody and beat the daylights out of him, and then got arrested and went right back to jail, what would we say about his life? We would say three words: what a waste. What a waste. You could have been somebody. You could have had a new life. And you went right back to what you did before. What a horrible thing to do. I'll tell you what else would be wasted life. If he said, I can't live in society, I'm going to go be a hermit. I'm going to live on some mountaintop, never talk to another human in all my life. Just kind of smolder in my hatred for everybody and just die alone. You and I would say, well, that's a wasted life. That's not what you should do with it. You need to benefit somebody. I mean, you got a second chance. Do something worthwhile this time around. Here's a point. I am Barabbas. Everything I've told you about him is my story. But it's your story too. Everything I've said about this man is exactly true of us. Let me show you what I mean. I was destined to die for crimes I had committed against my God. The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin. You know what that says? Wages. What are wages? Wages are what you're paid for doing what you do. It's what you're owed. It's what you're owed. Nobody says, you mowed my lawn, I'm giving you $20 for that. Oh, no, 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 I don't deserve that. Please don't give me that. Please don't do that. If that's what you contracted to do, that's what you're paid. The wages of sin. People say, you know, God shouldn't punish me for this. Hey, God put the terms out there. You sin, you die. So if you choose to do that, that's the consequence. The wages of sin is death. I deserve to die. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm not alone in that. My jail cell's pretty crowded because y'all are taking up a lot of space in it. We're all there. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we all deserve to die. I'm talking eternal separation from God. We deserve that. And there isn't anybody, there isn't any one of us that has a right to say, that's not fair. That's not fair. Oh, it's absolutely fair. It's the terms by which we live in this world. God told us. Look, tell me you've committed a sin you had no control over. Tell me. Tell me you lied, but it wasn't you. Tell me you gossiped, but it wasn't you. Tell me you coveted and lusted, but it wasn't you. And I'll tell you that I hated, but it wasn't really me. And I was lazy, but it wasn't me. We did those things because we chose to do them. So we live with the consequences. Just like Barabbas could not say to us, this isn't fair. Folks, this isn't fair. What this Roman government is doing to me isn't right. You and I would say, no, no, it's right. It's right. You killed somebody. You deserve to die. You were treasonous. You deserve to die. You robbed people. You deserve to go to jail. That's what we'd tell Barabbas. Well, let's let Barabbas speak to us. He'd say, you're no better. You've done those things. I am destined to die for my sins. And how am I saved? Well, I worked my way out of it. I just worked real hard and I studied hard and I made myself better and I convinced God to let me go. I'm not saved by my works. There's no one of us saved by our works. There's no one of us saved by our character. There's no one of us saved by our accomplishments or by our glib tongues or our persuasive arguments. In Ephesians chapter 2, here's what the Apostle Paul says about all of our works and our salvation. Verse 4. God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. If I'm saved, it's going to be by the mercy of God. Not by any acts in my life. And if I am saved, it will be by the death of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 10, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Barabbas walked because Jesus died. I live because Jesus died in my place. There was a crowd out there hollering, some of them because they wanted justice. Some of them maybe because they hated me. Who could have said, when God said, what shall I do with Ralph? Could have said, crucify him. He deserves to die. But God himself put himself in the crowd and said, take my son instead. Let Ralph go free. And then this last point. I have a chance to live again. What am I going to do with that? Can I go back to the same things that I was doing, which condemned me to eternal death? Wouldn't you say those three words, Ralph? How can you do that? What a waste. What a waste. How can you do that? And if I say, well, you know what? I don't want to be an enemy of God. I just want to live apart from everybody. I don't want to influence anybody else. I just want to live my own life. Live in my own little bubble. Just take care of myself and die when the time comes. That's all I want to do. What a waste. You wouldn't want Barabbas to do that. You want his life to count for something. Then mine needs to count for something. The story of Barabbas, it's us. And God took the chains off and put us out there in the crowd and said, now go do better. Why don't you live the life that my son didn't get a chance to live because he died in your place? If you're not a Christian, tonight's lesson might very well convince you you need to do something different with your life. You need to live for the one who died for you. You need to acknowledge him as your Lord, as the one who died for you, as the sacrifice in your place. By doing that, you're acknowledging that you're a sinner and you need to repent of those sins. That's what put you in that spiritual prison in the first place. That's what put you on the road to death. Turn from that. Confess Jesus as Lord. Go out there and live a life confessing him every day as your Lord and Savior. And before you leave this place, bury the man of sin that is in you in the waters of baptism. And rise to walk a new life. New life. If any man is in Christ, old things have passed away, all things are made new. Live that new life. And if you're a child of God and you've never thought about the things that we've talked about tonight, or you haven't recently, realize again, we're the Barabbases that need to live the way Barabbas should have lived. I don't know. I would love it if, when I get to heaven, and I intend to be there, if I could run into a guy, introduce myself to him, and him say, I'm Barabbas. I heard you preach on me a few times. I'd love that to happen. I hope that happened to him. I can't control that because that's done. But you and I, tonight, we can control the future right now by the decisions we make to follow Jesus. You are Barabbas. You've been set free. What are you going to do with that now? You think about that and act on it if you need to. While we stand and sing, you come to the front.